The Charlie McCarthy Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Don Ameche. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Don Ameche welcoming you to our little group for another half hour of your valuable Sunday. This evening we have as our guest the noted psychologist and writer, Dr. Albert Edward Wiggum. And, of course, our regular group, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Joan Merrill, Mortimer Snerd. And back again with us in Hollywood, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Moochie.
Hi there, Charlie. Gosh, it sure is swell to have you back.
Yes, you lucky people, you.
Say, Charlie, is that really you?
Yeah. Well, if it ain't, I've traveled 3,000 miles for nothing.
Yeah.
Tell me, Ray, did you miss us?
Oh, Robert, old boy, yes. You know, since Charlie's been away, it's been so quiet and peaceful, I've actually been able to hear my own music.
Oh, you poor fellow. You have suffered, haven't you?
Oh, Charlie.
Oh, Jill.
Charlie, please promise me you'll never leave me again.
Well.
Oh, please promise, Charlie, and I'll do anything you ask.
Anything?
Anything.
Okay, sweetie. Tuck her up.
Well, not now, Charlie. It's time for me to sing.
Oh, there goes that song again.
We used to call it our serenade. We fell in love when we heard it play. Over and over and over and over again. I still remember when I sang the words and they made you mine. I feel a distant repeating rhyme. Over and over and over and then we drifted apart. You walked off with my heart. It's funny how one listener just got any reminiscence. I can't forget that again. I told myself when you said so long.
Charlie, have you and Mortimer been having fun since you got back from New York?
No, you see, John, Mortimer, he's so slow, he cramps my style.
I see.
Yeah, McCarthy craves action.
But, Charlie, Mortimer's heart is in the right place.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, but is his brain? I think it's a little tilted.
Well, Mortimer may be slow, but he always gets where he's going.
Yeah, but he ain't going anyplace.
Well, that reminds me of a story which proves that speed isn't everything.
And you're going to tell it, I'm afraid?
Yes. Yes, I am told that I tell a story very well.
Well, Bergen, you've got to stop talking to yourself, that's all. I like those little digs, you know.
Yeah. I love them. All right, all right. Now, this is a favorite story of mine. It's one of Aesop's fables. It's the story of the hare
and how you lost it.
No, no.
I'll feel good all day now.
Yeah. No, it's the hare and the tortoise.
Oh.
You know what a tortoise is?
A tortoise?
Yes.
Well, a tortoise is a sort of a lizard. A lizard in a concert hut.
Yes, that's right. Now, this hare was so swift that whenever he wanted to go anyplace, he had to start late to get there on time. Well, I shall continue.
You might as well. There's nothing to wait for.
No.
Once upon a time, just tell it. Yes, all right. Don't louse it up.
All right.
Now, one day, this hare braggingly challenged all of the other animals to a race. And to his surprise, the tortoise accepted the challenge. "You're nothing but an old slowpoke," the hare said. "You'll never get anywhere."
"The next voice you hear will be that of the voice of the turtle."
"All right."
"I'm not so slow," said the tortoise.
"Didn't I tell you?"
"I can run faster than you think."
And then what do you think the rabbit said?
"What's up, Doc?"
"No, no."
"So,
the race is about to start."
"Oh, good. Do I have time to place a bet?"
"No."
"Where's the 10-cent window?" "No, no."
"They're at the starting line."
"Good. May the best rabbit win."
"Oh." "I see. You're betting on the rabbit, aren't you?"
"Yeah."
"I see."
"Certainly."
"Yes,
He's my boy,
yeah."
"Come on, rabbit. He's my boy, yeah. Have on."
"Yes, yes. You don't think the turtle has a chance, do you?"
"Well, with that smug look on your kisser, it makes me a little suspicious, you know."
Well, now comes the race. The starting gun sounds, and the hare is off like a flash.
"Yeah, please, sir. All right." "Don't so juicy. All right."
Oh, it was so exciting. There never was such a race.
I don't believe there was either.
And the hare looked back and couldn't even see the tortoise. So he decided to take a nap.
It's a pushover.
Now, what do you think of his doing a thing like that right in the middle of a race?
Well, he's a wise rabbit.
Yeah, oh, yes, I know.
He's saving himself for the home stretch.
Yeah.
I'm still betting on him. He's my boy.
All right, all right. Now the turtle was gradually gaining ground, but the hare slept on.
Yeah. Well, he can't do this to me.
Yeah. And the turtle lumbered past him.
"Wake up, you hit the road, you bum."
"All right." Still the rabbit slept.
Somebody must have doped his carrot.
"No, no." And now comes the exciting part.
Now it comes.
Yes.
And high time, too.
Yes.
I was about to join the rabbit in a little shut-eye.
"No, no, no." The rabbit awoke just in time to see the tortoise nearing the finish line. So he raced and madly after the tortoise.
"Hooray, we're still in the money. We still got a chance."
"All right, all right." But it was too late. The tortoise crossed the finish line first, and the turtle was judged the winner.
"I demand a recount."
"Now, listen."
"No, that is...
He wanted to..."
"Kill the umpire."
"No, no, no, listen."
"We was robbed."
"Golly, will you be... How embarrassing to think of that. This rabbit losing the race to a turtle."
"Well, he ain't washed up necessarily. He can always go back to doing personal appearances out of a silk hat."
"Yes, yes, yes." "But the point is this, Charlie. What is the moral of this story?"
"The moral?"
"Yes."
"Well, the moral is, never criticize Mortimer, or Bergen will tell you a story."
"Yes."
Joan Merrill, with the assistance of Ray Noble, give us the unusual treat of a sleigh ride in July.
Out of the moonlight. them who think that I was taken for a sleigh ride in
the way you put your point over in story fashion by comparing Charlie to the hare and Mortimer to the turtle.
Well, I don't know whether I accomplished anything.
Well, Mr. Bergen.
Speak of the turtle and any crawls.
Hello, Mortimer.
Hello.
You're late.
Yeah, I was having trouble with my dog.
I see.
He gave me an argument and I slapped him.
Oh, now, Mortimer, you wouldn't hurt your dog.
Well, it don't hurt him any more than it does my hand.
Such English.
It don't hurt him.
You know, grammatically speaking, Mortimer,
yeah.
You mean it doesn't hurt him.
Well, it may hurt him a little, but not very much.
No, Mortimer, you don't understand. I was speaking of the verb don't.
Mm-hmm.
I was speaking of the verb don't, which you used incorrectly.
Well, I just slapped him with my hand.
Yeah. Well, Mortimer, what I'm trying to say is you should say it doesn't hurt him.
Mm.
You see, it is the subject.
Yeah.
Him, meaning the dog, we call the object.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, you see, that's what confused me, you see.
What?
Because that object calling my dog, I call him Plasma. See, that's where you confused me.
Oh, I did, huh?
Yeah, you call your dog Plasma.
Yeah, because he's part bloodhound. No. Oh, you walked into that one, didn't you? Yeah. I'm as sharp as a fire hydrant.
Yeah. Well, at least you know your dog's name.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah.
But we were speaking of the dog's relation to the sentence.
Oh, relation, I see. Well, I know he's part bloodhound, and I think a little Doberman on his cousin's side. And he don't mind very good.
Now there, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Well,
you mean he doesn't mind very well.
Well, just what I said.
No.
Mortimer, it is not what you said.
Oh, I did so too.
You did not.
All right. You talk like I ain't got no education.
Yeah, well, you do too. Mortimer, do you know your ABCs?
How do you spell it?
No.
So, let's take another sentence to illustrate the point.
All right.
How about this one? The dog buried the bone.
Yeah.
Now, what is the object?
I'd say a rainy day.
A rainy day.
No, Mortimer. Mortimer, bone is the object.
Oh.
And if the dog is the subject, what is the part that follows?
Oh, we cut that off when he was a pup.
Look, Mortimer, suppose we start from scratch.
That's what my dog does, too.
He doesn't mean that at all.
Oh, he don't?
He don't. No,
he don't. No.
How can you be so stupid?
Well, being born ignorant helps a lot.
I know.
Mortimer relaxes from his mental exertion, returns to Joan Merrill singing, "He's Home" for a little while.
He's home for a little while. He's mine once again. No need to tell, but it feels simply well with him close to me. He's home for a little while. I live for his name. I hit the sky when he looks in my eyes, and my knees breathe with bliss. He's sort of changed. Kind of different from the boy I used to know a while ago. Strange how much he says without a word, and when he holds my hand, I understand I'm his, but forevermore he's mine.
The race. The race is over.
Hey, Edgar, is Johnny giving you trouble?
Well, lately, yes, John. He's getting so arrogant and insolent and argumentative.
Yeah, and a great little liar, too.
Well, look, Edgar, our guest tonight should give you the answer.
You're right, Don. You're right. Well, who is he? Who is
he's
he?
He's the famous psychologist, Dr. Albert E. Wiggum.
Good evening, Dr. Wiggum.
So, this is Charlie McCarthy. My, how you've changed.
Doctor, I'm down to meet you. That's Charlie.
Welcome, Dr. Wigwam. Pull up a scalpel and sit down.
No. It's not Dr. Wigwam.
No?
No, it's Dr. Wiggum.
Oh, of course. And how is Mrs. Wiggum and her cabbage patch?
No.
Oh, Charlie. Dr. Wiggum is the author of that newspaper feature, Let's Explore Your Mind.
Oh, I'm glad you told me. Should I get a shampoo first?
No. Now, quiet, Charlie, quiet. Doctor, you must have interviewed many interesting people in your time.
Oh, yes, Don. It's been my pleasure to explore some of the greatest minds in the world.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what are you doing here?
Slumming. Oh, he begged for it.
Yes. Remember that book I gave you, Charlie? How to Master Your Bad Habits?
Yes, that I do.
Well, that was written by Dr. Wiggum.
Well, did you find my book interesting, Charlie?
Oh, yes, indeed, Doctor. Yes, indeed. I just couldn't put it down till I woke up.
Oh, Doctor, I wish you could do something to help Charlie. He embarrasses all of us. So far, he's made a mess of his life.
Yeah. You think this is a mess? You should see what I got lined up for the future.
Well, just how would you go about curing a boy like Charlie of his many faults?
I don't think there's any hope for me. It's too late. It's too late.
No, no, it isn't.
Am I being too harsh with myself?
Maybe you are, yeah.
Charlie, you are what you think you are.
Well, now there's something... Mr. Amici. There is no need to be insulting.
Well, just what are you going to do about it?
Oh, so that's your attitude?
That is my attitude, yes.
Oh, you're a wise guy, a wise guy.
Never mind the wise guy.
Well, Cliff, you could help me. I'll mow you down.
Charlie, Charlie. Oh, Charlie, temper is simply a bad habit.
Yeah.
That's one I cured myself of years ago.
Oh, well, Doctor, why don't you do something for Charlie?
Yes, Doctor, what method do you recommend here?
Well, I use the method developed by Dr. Knight Dunlap. It's known as negative practice. Yeah. Now, it's based on the theory that habit is an aptitude or an inclination or some action acquired by repetition.
Yeah. Would you mind dehydrating that and taking the lumps out?
Well, now, to cure yourself of a bad habit, you practice it deliberately, to excess. Mm-hmm. Not indulge in it, but practice it. In order to become skilled, so you can control it.
Oh, I see. In other words, if a golfer wants to cure his slice, he deliberately practices slicing.
You know, Don, I tried that.
Well, did you lose the habit, Edgar?
No, but he lost a lot of golf balls.
Well, Doctor, let's get back to the pathetic case of Charlie.
Oh, don't make it so sad.
See if you can't help him, will you, Doctor?
Well, what bad habits is Charlie suffering from now?
Oh, Doctor, we haven't time to mention all his bad habits. I'll just mention one. He has a habit of not graduating from the eighth grade.
Oh, well, that merely requires study and stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah, well, haven't I been sticking to the eighth grade?
Yeah, but don't brag about it either, will you?
No.
What about borrowing money and all those lies you tell?
With me, lying isn't a habit, it's a necessity. And in my hands, it becomes a fine art.
I say, Cass, what's all the palaver about? Oh. Am I intruding?
You know you are.
Ray, I want you to meet Dr. Wiggum, LLD, PhD, BMT.
Oh, how do you do?
Hello, Ray.
How do you do? I'm Ray Noble.
Dr. Wiggum was just telling us how to cure bad habits.
Bad habits? Oh, it's jolly interesting. You know, 5 years ago, a friend of mine and I decided it would be helpful for each of us to tell the other all his faults, you see.
That sounds like a grand idea. How'd it work, Ray?
I really don't know, old boy. You see, we haven't spoken for 5 years.
Will you get out of here before I take a clip at you? That's what I'll do.
I repeat now, temper is just a sign of weakness.
I was expecting that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're right, Dr. Windbag. Not Windbag. I mean Dr. Wigwag.
No, the name is Dr. Wiggum, you fool.
Oh, of course. Well, tell me, Dr. Wiggum, you fool. No.
Oh, you hit it. I'll clip you, so help me. I'll mow you down.
Temper, temper, Doctor, temper.
Be with us again next week when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Ameche, Ray Noble, Joan Merrill, and all of us will be appearing for the Armed Forces of Marchfield. Our guest will be Miss Dorothy L'Amour.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.